Penny stood in the middle of the room, like a normal human lady in a casual situation, and clenched her hands into fists. She could feel her heart in her palms. "I have something to tell you," Sam said, standing uneasily in front of her. "Are you going somewhere?" she asked, nodding at the backpack. "Is it something to do with Brandy Rose?"
"Dude,"
he said, and laughed. Shit. Penny was fairly certain that when a guy called you dude, it was because he didn't want to see you naked ever. "Have you ever called me dude before?" Penny wasn't sure why she was talking. "Wow," he said. "Sometimes talking to you is like accidentally clicking on a pop-up with autoplay video." Penny smiled weakly. "Sorry, continue.
I want to get through what I want to say, and then it'll be your turn," said Sam. "Is that okay?"
Penny nodded.
"I don't," he said, and then stopped. "So I don't think I want to be friends with you anymore. I want to kill the pact."
Penny blinked back tears, hoping that her eyelashes could dam the flow at least until she could kick him out. This was it, the moment they both knew would come. At least she did. It was the day Sam grew out of talking to her. It was how Christopher Robin didn't need Winnie the Pooh when he became a grown-up. God, how she'd wept when she discovered the ending. Penny wondered if that's what happened in Calvin and Hobbes, too, but couldn't remember. Penny hated whenever you could see Hobbes as a doll, since it killed the magic. God, Penny didn't want to be friends with Sam either. It was too emotional. She took a deep breath.
"Good," said Penny, "because I completely agree. We're definitely getting too codependent, right? I mean, how much workshopping can we honestly do for each other? It's not as if you need my mom drama on top of your mom drama. It's way too taxing for both of us, especially since we have so much homework. Emotional homework. Oh, and real homework for me. I have so much of all the homeworks."
"You think we're codependent?" Sam asked her. He frowned and ran his hands through his hair. Penny nodded. She thought about how she'd invited this, invoked it. By summoning Sam out of her phone, she had hastened this evolution. They could have stayed in suspended animation forever if she hadn't appeared in front of him so many times, pried open the portal and insisted her body through. Penny gazed longingly at Sam's skinny legs, his bony arms. Oh, God, she loved everything. Whatever. Maybe this was good. This could be great for her story. Knowing about real heartbreak is useful. Maybe this was her inciting incident. Her saga would go on. She would persist. At least Penny had Jude and her mom and Mallory. God, was she at the point of counting Mallory as a good thing? Her brain was short-circuiting. Penny shook her head. To her horror, she was crying. "I'm not crying 'cause I'm sad," she said angrily, swiping her tears.
"Which is it then? Are you hungry? Or real, real mad?"
"I don't know," muttered Penny.
Okay, he said. "I don't know where you're at or what you're thinking, and I don't know if there's a configuration of words that, if I get right, will make you see me differently."
Sam wiped his hands on his jeans and continued.
"I know I relied on you for an awful lot when we were basically strangers. It's because I trusted you, and I don't trust a lot of people. I'm like you like that, real choosy with humans. I was going through a lot of change, and you were my emergency contact through all of it, even when I didn't have a lot to give back. And it can't have been a picnic, you know?"
Sam ran his fingers through his hair again and swallowed.
"God," he said, "I wish I could text you what I want to say."
Penny smiled tightly and braced herself.
"I know I've been kind of a bum deal," he continued.
Penny willed him to shut up, just not do whatever he was about to.
"No, you haven't," she said. "You've been a real pal. I get a lot out of you. I trust you right back. You speak fluent me. I've got no complaints. I like knowing that you exist. It doesn't make me feel any less lonely because life is lonely, but it makes me feel a lot less alone.
Jesus, he breathed. I got you something.
He rummaged through his backpack and handed her a mug. Inside, it was a teddy bear wearing sunglasses and he was holding a handful of daisies.
What? Right?
Said Sam hopefully. Penny started laughing.
Wow, she said, turning it over.
It immediately reminded her of Mark's single red rose. She'd chucked it in the garbage on her drive back. It was clear karma was a bitch and she was getting payback for the way she'd treated Mark. Sam was closing the loop. Sam laughed.
It's the grossest one they had, he said. And guess what?
What? She asked him.
Later, I'm gonna make you a mixtape.
Wait. Penny shook her head, still confused. Sam was smiling. Penny smiled stupidly back.
And then we are going to play miniature golf.
The car dealership windsock in her heart stirred and began swaying in the wind.
Or a hayride, if you'd prefer.
Her heart was dancing now, full-on spaz mode.
And then we're going on a picnic, and we're going to make out the whole time, he said. If that's what you want.
Sam cleared his throat. Penny took a half step closer to him and cleared her throat. She was so excited, she wanted to punch him.
Yeah?
He took the mug, placed it on her desk, and reached for her hand.
Yeah, he said. And it's going to be ridiculous.
Emergency Contact was written by Mary H.K. Choi and read by Joy Osmansky and Jacques Roy. Editing and post-production by Matt Kartsonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Emergency Contact is available in print from Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.